ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me.
Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are.
Everybody is I. You all know you are you. And wheresoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being.
Yo, 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 beautiful people. Hope you're doing well wherever you are in the world. This week on the Ascend podcast, I bring to you an episode of Observing My Thoughts. If you're not familiar with these episodes of Observe My Thought, basically every now and again when the time is right, I always sort of have new concepts and new ideas that I'm playing with and think experiences that's happening in my life. And every now and again in between the other podcast episodes, I'll basically just ramble about some of the experiences that I'm going through. So today I definitely wanted to dive back into the Kundalini Awakening. So if you didn't listen to part one, where I talked about the Kundalini awakening process, what it is, what I've been going through, I would definitely recommend heading back to the last episode of Observing My Thoughts. On the YouTube channel, it is called Kundalini Awakening, and on the audio version of the podcast, it is Observing My Thoughts, episode 3, I think it is. So I would definitely recommend heading back to the latest episode of Observing My Thoughts in the latest Kundalini Awakening video, if you want some more clarity on what I'm going to talk about, because I'm going to go a bit deeper into the aspect of the Kundalini Awakening now and talk about some of the things that I've been going through. So anyway, in regards to the Kundalini Awakening, the first time that you do feel the energy through your body, this amazing impulse of energy all the way through your human vessel, it really can be fearful in the beginning. And this is what it was for me. I really didn't have the contextual understanding to what it really was. I think as a society, we're not really taught about these type of things and these different energy shifts within our bodies and these different awakening experiences that can occur on the planet to ourselves. So when these things do come around and you have these subjective experiences where you experience a Kundalini awakening, for example, at times it can be daunting, it can be scary, because these things, as I'm going to talk about further on later on down the line, these things do bring up a lot of fears, they do bring up a lot of deep things about yourself that you need to work on. So it can be scary. And when I spoke about on the last Observing My Thoughts about the Kundalini Awakening, a lot of you guys reached out and said, thank you so much for bringing clarity to the topics, because you didn't realize that what you were going through in the past was a Kundalini Awakening. So, I mean, it's really interesting because, I mean, I can imagine in the past how many people have gone through this experience and they thought they're going crazy. They've had no understanding of what it is. And they haven't been we're not in a society where we have the foundation to help people. So that's why I feel it's important to talk about this topic, because, I mean, people could be out there now having a Kundalini awakening or going to have a Kundalini awakening or just going through these different processes of awakening or these energetic shifts, and they just haven't got a fucking clue what it is. So I think it's really important anyway to talk about it, and that's why I want to. So anyway, when you go through a Kundalini awakening, obviously your body is going through these different impulses of energy, which I've described in the older video. And basically what it does is the process is basically unraveling your psyche. It's unraveling all the things that you need to work on and basically bringing you from a state of ego to a place of love and compassion, a place of from judgment to non-judgment. And I think we all need a bit of that in our lives. I think as human beings, we all have things that we need to work on, and I think this is all it's doing. It's just bringing you more in alignment with your true and higher self. So anyway, after you have worked on all the shit that you need to work on, this is the experience that's happened for me. It's highlighted all the things in my life that I need to work on and what I need to get better at. And once you surrender to this divine energy which is in us all, it really is, the only way I can describe it is sort of like you're being baptized, like sort of a Catholic nun smoking DMT or snorting DMT is just sort of frowned upon your mind, and you have to sort of work through all the different things that you that you're not doing correctly in your life. And once the energy explodes through your body and comes up through the centers, you really do start to notice some very interesting stuff. And one of them, just to get it out of the way, it's definitely the most important one. I mean, you have to start growing a beard like a guru, and you also have to start wearing beads. They're the crucial ones, definitely. And if you don't live up to that, you're just gonna go back to your normal life, basically. All jokes aside, anyway. But the best way I can describe this process is, I thought long and hard about this, is basically like a telescope. So basically, you have a telescope, and you have sort of an adjustment on the telescope where you can zone into different planets, different solar systems, and different stars. And I would say that when you haven't had an awakening, and you're not aware of all your tendencies, and you sort of you're not open to new infinite possibilities, and you don't have the sort of the gift of true sight. When you look at different star systems, all you can see is the night sky. You can't see stars, you can't see planets. But once you adjust the telescope, you can now then see new planets. You can see the stars, you can start seeing the wonder of the world. And that is definitely what the Kundalini awakening is like. It's like a telescope. It will start sort of adjusting the filter, which the eyes that you see. You will start going from a place of sort of ego to a place of compassion, a place of non-judgment, a place of judgment to non-judgment. And also as well, your own telescope and your mind will go through a place of expansion and compression, where you will keep filtering between the ego to compassion. And that's just part of the process. It's absolutely fine. It's where I'm at now in the journey. I go from a place of non-judgment to a place of judgment. It just keeps going backwards and forwards until you find the right balance, until you overcome it. It's just a part of the process, so don't worry about that. And a really interesting thing is you will go through some very special moments where you have these deep moments of clear clarity. I mean, I think in our day-to-day lives, when we walk around, sometimes, as you know, we can have conversations with certain people, certain interactions with family members, or whoever it is. And we do cast a lot of judgments in our day-to-day life. If you just watch your own mind, you will see that you cast a lot of judgments on people, and I'm guilty of this myself as well. But what this experience really does, it really gives you the ability to have more compassion, to have more understanding, to be able to listen to people better, to be able to understand what they're actually saying. And you basically just see the world in a completely much more beautiful and profound way. In one of the experiments that I've been sort of embracing myself in a lot lately is the example of people watching. People watching is a really great one to sort of practice the energy and practice the sort of the understanding of the non-judgment mind. And I had an example where I went to London to do a podcast in the Canary Wharf. And if you're not familiar with what Canary Wharf is, Canary Wharf is basically a place where it's very sort of, I would say, it's very businessman-like. It's very money orientated. It's very much in the ego. And I know I'm aware of my judgment aspect in that, but from a physical perspective, just looking from the outside in, it's not an environment for me. Just to be honest, I'm somebody who likes nature environment, likes to be out the way. But Canary Wharf is in the heart of London. It has big skyscrapers. It's very money orientated, like I said, very masculine dominant, very ego dominant, in my opinion. And I was meant to have a podcast in central London. And anyway, for some reason, the universe sometimes does things like this. Even after driving 400, 500 miles, podcasts sometimes just don't happen, and the conversations don't get done. You don't get to see the podcast either, because it just didn't get recorded. But for some reason, the universe always does these things where sometimes, if you look at it this way, you can see that it was doing it for a reason. So I always try to look at these circumstances, all these different things that happen in your life, these occurrences. I always try to find a positive in them, and trying to find some value in it that I can find in the moment instead of beating myself up. So in this one instance, I was in the central of London, And I was at a place just outside called JP Morgan, which, if you know what JP Morgan is, it's a big banking system. It's one of the biggest, largest banks in the world. And I had this occurrence where, like, so many different things were going on, where I got lost in the center of Canary Wharf and ended up going into the, trying to get into the JP Morgan building by mistake. Didn't realize that you needed a key card to get in. I just thought it was a normal door to exit the building. And anyway, a security guard pulled us back and basically wasn't very happy with us. And there was lots of other occurrences that was going on where I bumped into somebody and somebody sort of turned around and sneered at us. And they were like tutted at us like that. So there was lots of weird scenarios going on. So I decided just to sit down on one of the seats in one of the busy spots in Canary Wharf. And I decided just to chill out, and I just thought, so this has brought me here definitely for a reason. So what's it brought us here for a reason? So bear in mind, I'm in the heat of this Kundalini awakening. So I decided just to sit and people watch. And I started to realize that this moment is just trying to make me realize that it's trying to stop me casting judgments and try to sort of go to a place of no ego and stop judging people. So that's what I try to do. I try to sit down and just watch the perspective of all these different people watching. And it really is a great method that, no matter where you are in your life, the perspective of just sitting down somewhere in a busy spot and just people watch, it really is a great experiment, not only from the physical perspective but from a mental perspective. You can really start to sort of see the train of your thoughts and how you, and the perspective that you have on the world around you and the judgments that you cast. And one thing I learned is that these judgments that come into your mind, because we all have them, they're really not a bad thing. It's just about more about being the witness of the judgments, because it's not about everyone has judgments in the mind. It's not about the judgments. It's the most important thing is how you react to the judgments. So become the witness of the judgments when you're people watching, and just witness how your mind reacts to it, because you can change it. It's a little experiment anyway, so definitely try that. It really is a cool one. People watching is always a great one for deep introspection of your own thoughts and how you view the world. And also as well, when I was down there as well, which I thought was a really funny experience, is so in London as well, in Canary Wharf, they have all these sort of turny doors and stuff. Like, you know, the doors where you step into and only one person can go in at the same time. It was really funny because I was going in these doors and stuff, and I was thinking, can you not just have a normal door that you have to push forward to walk through, or don't have a door at all? So anyway, I was going in these turny doors, and they were just a nightmare. I couldn't work them properly. And it was really funny because it reminded us of, I had this perspective of, say, like a hunter-gatherer's come to a busy town for the first time ever. They would be like looking at these doors as sort of like magic or something, like gods or something like that. Like, whoa, the doors are the gods, the doors are the gods. But anyway, I thought that was a funny scenario. I really did feel like I was a hunter-gatherer in a city for the first time. It was a really funny experience anyway. So anyway, also as well, what I've learned with the experience as well is that a deeper understanding that every single moment in life is a spiritual one. I think we try to create these lines between moments that are spiritual and moments that are not, or experiences that are spiritual, or certain characters or certain types of environment that we're in are spiritual and that are not. For example, people think that you can only be spiritual by doing yoga. People think that you can only be spiritual by doing a certain thing or not doing a certain thing. But a big profound lesson I've learned is that every single experience here really is a spiritual one. Even the art of just going to work, working a 9-to-5 job, it really is a spiritual experience. And I love the quote by Teilhard de Chardin. He says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I really do think that is true. I really feel that this place is a place where we just come to explore. We are the spiritual beings immersing in the physical. We're sort of, we're matter snorkeling. We're snorkeling through matter, all this around us now, for a finite time in existence. And we have an opportunity to embrace this thing. And that's what I feel it is anyway. And also as well, just to add, I came across this beautiful, beautiful quote in relation to the Kundalini awakening. I thought I'd read it out. But basically it says that The process of awakening or enlightenment is nothing but to empty yourself from the inside and make you encounter with the real being, where you absolutely relax yourself and feel regenerated to the experience of life again. And it really does do that. I mean, the awakening process, it really does give you the sense of expansion of the self onto others, and you start seeing that everyone around you is just a mirror image of you. It really is a beautiful thing. One of the other big areas as well, which is one of the most important ones, is the aspect of pain. Because with this Kundalini awakening, you will feel pain and you will be taken to the deeper aspects of the dark aspects of yourself. And you will come face to face with them. You'll come face to things that you're not doing right. Even the thoughts that you have on yourself, the thoughts that you have on others, the judgments you have on others, and things that you really need to work on, you will be faced with them. But all as I've realized is what this is doing is basically sort of like an arrow, like pulling the arrow back. It's basically sort of the arrow is pulling you into the pain. It's showing you all the different traumas and things that you have to work on, things that you have to correct. And then eventually it is letting you go. And after you've done the traumas, it's pushing you into the light, into the bliss. And that's all it's doing. So what I've really developed is a deeper understanding of pain and really come to terms with that, and this is, I know this is hard to understand, but really pain is just setting us free. It really is. And I really do feel that we try to create a hierarchy of experience. I've really learned that happiness is not just blissfulness. Pain is also blissfulness as well. We just have to change our sort of contextual understanding around it. We have to change our perspective on it and just realize that all these things that are coming up in our life are really just trying to help us and guide us in certain directions. When the body is suffering, when the mind is suffering, it's just a part of yourself that it's trying to bring attention to something that needs to be healed and something that needs to be improved. That is all it is doing. And you get the choice to decide whether you want to listen to it or not. And that's the beautiful thing about this human experience. So what I'm basically trying to say is that what the stage for me does is it's really making me understand and making me understand to love the pain. And really make me understand that all these different challenges that come up in our lives are just a part of the game, and try to separate yourself from the experiences that are unfolding in front of you, and realize that you are not the things that are in front of you. You are something much more than that, and these are just experiences that are coming forward to you that you have to experience. So you can, in them moments when these challenging moments come to you can decide between love and fear. And I promise you now, just do not take it. I know it's a hard thing. I know we all have different things in our life. But I promise you, the more you understand that this is just the whole thing of this, the whole reality is just a game, the more you can sort of have more of a witness mind and not take it so seriously. Another beautiful gift that comes from the Kundalini awakening as well is that you will really get glimpses of these deep insights and otherworldly and sort of cosmic and godly information. You will have times where you just be pulsated with energy through your body, and you'll just have these deep moments of clarity where you get these deep and profound moments of wisdom about your internal self and the world around you. And the biggest one of them is, for me, is knowing that you're not just your body. I've always knew this in my life anyway, but when the Kundalini energy invokes through you and you do get these deep insights, you really get this great contextual understanding that you are more than this physical vessel, and you 100% know that when we die and when we leave this physical plane, that is not the end. I mean, it's the million-dollar question, what happens after that? I don't know. That's one of the biggest questions that I'm working on now. That's my next stage of the Kundalini awakening. I'm trying to figure out what is the purpose of this thing. But you 100% have an understanding that there is a lot more to us than meets the eye. And it really is special, because deep down, this is what the purpose of the awakening is. This is what the energy is doing. It's really just trying to show you who you are. That is all it is doing. And they are the biggest questions on the planet, really, is who and what we are. And that is all it's doing. It's just guiding you and helping you into them different directions in your own thought process. Another interesting process of this as well, I've noticed shifts in my body where I just want to be sitting with myself and meditating. I don't want to have any distractions. I've also realized as well that I've never really meditated properly, and I've never really understood what it is to properly meditate. Now when I meditate, the state of mind and the state of being that I have is completely different to what I used to have in the past. I know where I'm going, so to say. I heard 8 years ago on a podcast, somebody said, when you meditate, how do you know where you're going if you've never been? But now I've definitely been there, so I know where I'm going. And if you've had that experience of where you know where you're going when you meditate, you'll understand what I mean by that. If you haven't had that experience yet, you will feel it one day, I promise you will really feel it. But one thing that the Kundalini Awakening does do is when you sit with yourself, a lot of times you have these moments of pure blissful energy where the energy will just open up through the centers of your body and you will feel bliss all throughout your body. And when you're meditating many times and you silent the mind, you will tune at these moments. And for me, the way that I've been able to access these is when I've been in a state of meditation is really being truly, really truly looking at the beauty in the world, really finding gratitude around the things in my life. And this is not something that you can trick to the self. You can't lie to the self. As you know, you can't trick the self. This is something you've really got to feel. And when you have these moments of deep gratitude for the things that are around you, when I'm meditating, I will have these moments where I feel the Kundalini energy through my body, and I have these amazing, blissful sort of bounces of energy all throughout my body. It's such an amazing experience. The only way I can describe it is like it's 1,000 orgasms all throughout the body. It really is. Another interesting experience that I had as well is that you will find that sometimes when you're in the middle of this thing, which I was, is that your thoughts can be scattered. You can be having all these different profound moments of deep clarity, and you have all these big questions come up in your mind. And at times, it's the process of trying to unravel this and trying to figure out what's going on. You're being shown a lot of deep information, and at times your mind can feel scattered, can feel pulled all over. But the stage that I'm at now, I feel like that sort of starts to dissolve. And new questions emerge and you have a deeper understanding and more clarity on the things that you're working through. But in time, that will sort of diminish and you will start to see things a lot more clearly. And the things that you thought were scattered will become more clear. And that's just a part of the journey. The more you go along. And I mean, there's things now that my mind's scattered on, which I'm going to talk about later on. But you will go through a stage where you feel scattered. Then you get a gainer understanding. Then you move on to something else. And I just wanted to mention and clarify as well that this is an experience that anyone can happen. You don't need to have a Kundalini awakening. Maybe the Kundalini awakening has happened for me because I've been I've been in the dumb monkey mind, and I've needed, and some people do need a nail to the head at times, and I feel like that's what I've got. But this state is accessible at all times. You just have to basically really tune into it and become a better person and realize that this state of being really is accessible at all times. It really is a beautiful and profound experience. And ultimately, all it is doing really is just trying to help us return to a state of being which is in love. That's all it is doing. So anyway, I hope you liked some of the points that I talked about. I know there's so much more that I missed, but at times this thing is moving so fast through us, this experience, this journey is unfolding so much. And I'm trying to sort of learn as much as I can from it, because I know that this sort of the experience of the Kundalini, what I've looked into, it won't be this energy that's pulsing from your body might not always be there, because there'll be a process and an evolution and a transition where the feeling of the energy will diminish because it'll just integrate into who I am. So I'm really trying to be gratitude and try to honor the journey by trying to learn as much as I can. So I know for a fact I've missed a few things, but I'm absolutely cool. I think I've said enough on that. So just to take this a little bit deeper, which I definitely want to do, and this is some of the things that I'm currently working on with the Kundalini Awakening now, and some of the bigger questions that is the next phase for me, and some of the things that I'm working on. So bear in mind that these things are very rough and raw, and they're going to sound crazy and outlandish, and that's absolutely fine. So I'm just a pre-warning to you guys, and these are some of the questions that I'm working on anyway. So one of the biggest questions that I'm asking myself is, so it's clear to see that through the Kundalini awakening and these different energetic shifts in the body, and also through other practices like psychedelic and other altered states of consciousness that we access, it's clear to see that these practices are trying to guide us and teach us and help us mold our psyches in certain ways, make us become better person. Like I said before, go from a place of ego into love, a place of judgment to non-judgment, basically trying to make us better people and unravel all of our tendencies to prepare us for something more. So the question I'm asking myself is that if it is doing that, why is it doing that? What is it that we need to retain in our psyches and our spirits? What level of mind do we have to get to, and why is it doing that? So these are some big questions that I'm asking myself anyway. It's clear to see that whatever we're in, whatever this game is, whatever this life is, it really is a wild one. And the ancient Egyptians, just to add a bit of that as well, which I've researched into, is that the ancient Egyptians believed that the human life is like a sculpture, and it is one that needs to be molded, it needs to be sculptured, it needs to be worked on, needs to be nurtured. And it's definitely clear to see that this is what this life is. We're given this certain experience as a human being on this planet. We're born into a certain situation, whatever it may be, and we have different challenges that we have to go through, and it's clear to see that we are all working through them, whether we like it or not. We have a decision in them moments to see it like that or not see it like that, but it's clear to see that this whole thing that we're in is doing that. It's healing us, it's helping us, it's trying to expand our consciousness. And what the ancient Egyptians really did believe, they believed that the human life is a project, and your consciousness is a work of art, and you have to keep working on it. And they believed that this is exactly, they talked about how they believe that this realm is exactly for that. It's a physical plane where you can learn a lot faster than you can in any other spiritual realm. I know that sounds out there, but this is something that I'm working on and questioning, and I'm reading a lot into this. And there's a lot of ancient profound knowledge that is out there, and I think it's really incredible. And that leads me on to another big question that I'm asking myself is, when I look into this information, you can always find information about the Kundalini awakening, this deeper understanding of consciousness. And the ancients were talking about this long before we're talking about it. And what's interesting to me is the question is how did they come up with that knowledge? How did they find that knowledge? And that is the really interesting question to me. And also, which I really think is really interesting, the ancients also as well, which I'm researching, this is some of the next questions, another question I'm asking, is the question of how the ancients understood the shifts in consciousness in terms of from a cycle perspective. So in terms of, so there's a lot of great knowledge in relation to Rafiri that the Mayans talked about. I think it's called the Kala Yunga, where basically, as a civilization, culturally, civilization goes through these different periods of consciousness, where a civilization can be more in a sort of coming from a place of fear and in an evil point, and then eventually that civilization goes through these cycles where the civilization, more people become awake and more people come aware, and that is clearly to see what is definitely happening now. More people are becoming aware. You listen to this podcast now, more people are becoming more people are coming awake, and it's clear to see anyway that it's clear to see that's what the ancients predicted these celestial cycles. And the question I'm asking myself is how the hell did they understand that knowledge? How the hell did they predict these celestial cycles? There's some great knowledge as well with the Mayan calendar. I mean, many people, the Mayan calendar, say that the Mayan calendar ended in 2012. Many people say that that was the end of the world. But what that really wasn't the end of the world. What that was a change. They predicted a change in consciousness on the planet. So that's a question that I'm asking myself. I'm going to be doing some more research onto that. I found some really cool articles. So in a later Observe My Thoughts, I really want to dive into that topic and divulge what I've come up with. Another interesting area of this thing, a question I'm asking myself as well, is the chakra aspect. I know the concept of chakras can come across as very wooey. I know in the past when people taught me about chakras and things, I mean, straight away my skeptical mind came up. But since this experience that I've been having, it's clear to see. I mean, I've felt the chakras, I've seen the chakras within myself. And even looking from an ancient perspective, they all predicted it and they have great knowledge on this. And wherever you look throughout all ancient teachers and cultures and scriptures across the globe, there is great knowledge and insight of the chakra system. So a question I'm asking myself is that, is the chakra system a physical thing or is it a metaphysical thing? Now, I know there's a lot of information talking about how it's a physical thing in terms of glands within the body, but on the other side of the things, I'm asking the question, is it just a metaphysical thing? Are these things just an energetic and metaphysical thing with inside ourselves? So that is the interesting thing. I'm going to start researching into what is the importance of the chakras, what is the importance of the different placements in the chakras throughout all the body. So that's some things that I'll be talking about later on as well. Another area that I wanted to talk about was that I've been a question and a thought that I've been having, and this is very rough. When I've been meditating a lot and I've been sitting with the energy and the different energy shifts within the body and the pulsations of the kundalini through my body, I've been sort of questioning, why is it that we have these bodies? Why do we have these bodies? And I really do get a sense that these bodies are designed perfectly in a way for ascension. I really do feel that we have the pineal gland. If the chakras are true, we have the chakras throughout the body. The body, in a way, is perfectly symmetrical. It's designed in a way to perfection. And I really do get the sense that the body is some sort of, it really is being designed in a way for physical ascension, which I think is really cool. So I'm going to do some more research into that as well. Another area as well, and this is very controversial, but I had a deep thought the other day that, so in the past, if we look through all the different scriptures and in the Bible and stuff, there is obviously always talk about Jesus and a Jesus figure in society, in that people believe that Jesus had certain magical powers and he was a god, godly-like, and he could do all these amazing things. But I was questioning myself, I mean, if I was talking about some of this information, what I'm talking about now in the past, and I was living my life the way I'm living now in the past, how would I be portrayed? Would I be portrayed the same way as Jesus? Would you be portrayed the same way as Jesus if by you talking about all this different stuff and having all these different experiences? I think maybe you would. Maybe you would. So the question I'm asking myself, was Jesus somebody who actually just had the gift of true sight and he was going through these different experiences? Maybe he took some psychedelics, maybe he had an experience of the Kundalini awakening and he started having these different perspectives and different worldly views. Into sort of that time era seemed like it was very godlike or otherworldly, and that's what I feel anyway. So maybe he was somebody who was, he was not in the ego anymore, and he was in a place of love. So anyway, I'll leave the podcast on that. I really wanted to just give you an update to where I'm at in the Kundalini. Like I said, I'm still going through it, still very raw. I'm no expert on it. I'm just working my way through it. Just wanted to be completely honest and tell you some of the things that I'm working on. I think it's really important. So I'm looking forward to, over the next couple of weeks, really doing some deep research into them, some of them questions at the end that I was working on. I'm sure I'll be talking about them many times. I'm going to try and maybe find some experts to talk about some of them in up-and-coming podcasts. And what I really love about this experience is that, like I said, everyone has the potential to do this. You don't have to have a Kundalini awakening. It is this form and this deep understanding and this gift of true sight is available at any time that you want to access it. It's just a choice. It really is. It's just from going from a place of ego to a place of love and treating people around you in a better way. That's all it is. And like I said, everyone can access it. But what I think is beautiful is that it's going to give me, this experience is really give me a different light into what I need to do. And it's only going to be richer for you guys, because these conversations are going to get much more deeper. My questions are going to have more clarity. The questions that I ask are going to be much more richer. They're going to be much more efficient for the journey that you're on. So it's all beautiful. It's all just a magical ride that we're on together. Like I said, this thing, at times, it blows my mind. It really does. But fuck me, what a ride this is. What a ride it is. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. I love you all. And wherever you are in the world, have a great day. Keep seeking, people. Peace out. Boom. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed that one, that episode of Observe My Thoughts. As you know, these conversations are very raw. And I really do pour my heart and soul into you and let my mind really flow so that you can really get a deep insight into what's going on in my life. And I really do feel that's valuable. I know it's hard in the world for us as humans to sort of fully allow other people in our minds, but I feel that's one of my gifts. I really do feel that I'm in a position mentally and psychologically where I really don't care anymore, and I just want to try and help as many people as I can. So if that's by me exposing certain aspects of myself to you, then I'm absolutely fine with that. So I hope you loved that podcast. And just to play this conversation out, as I always do, this is a really cool song, and it's perfect for this song. It's perfect for this conversation in particular. This is a song that about 3 months ago, me and my friend, when I first started this Kundalini Awakening, and he is also going through it as well, which is beautiful when you can share it with one of your best friends. But we were going on a road trip. We were going across to the Lake District for a weekend of hiking and camping out. And we were driving down, and we put the radio on. And the first song that came on the radio was this song in particular. We listened to this song. It was absolutely amazing. And then we found out what the song was called. And the synchronicity of the name is amazing. The song is called Waking Up. So enjoy this song, a celebration of waking up, by MJ Cole. Peace out, people, and I love you all. And wherever you are in the world, keep seeking, because it takes you to a beautiful place. Peace out, people.
I love you.
You told me.